That's no moon. That's the Half Past Sheaf podcast.
It's too big to be a podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
That was pretty dumb.
Welcome back, guys. Welcome to the Half Past Sheaf podcast, week 7. We're back with Matthew Lundin.
They loved me so much, they didn't have me on the next week.
We talked about this, Matt. We talked about this.
A little fun fact. Don't ask me how I know this, but statistically, podcasts end on episode 7. So
this is the last one.
Suicide!
Yay! What do you think is in the water you're drinking?
To celebrate, we got some cheap-ass sake from the Japanese market. Totally catching him off guard.
I'm seeing this for the first time. What the fuck?
I don't know, man. It was $11. We had to get it. That's why I brought the
ice. It was $11. We had to get no expense saved.
Straight out of the bottle.
Hey, coronavirus is no what are you laughing thinking? Matter.
No. Let's hear his thoughts on this.
Yeah, is it good? Is it good at all?
It's pretty good. I took a small sip.
Go for it. Fuck.
He's not driving home. What the fuck does he care?
Is it good?
It's good.
I'm going to put some ice in my glass. Let's get this going. Episode 7. Boom.
I ain't got AIDS yet.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck. Well, while we're pouring
you were fucking telling me not to spill shit.
While we're clop things.
Is this water, bro? Drink this water.
That was ice.
It was ice. That was the ice cup.
I'm sorry.
It all melted because we waited so goddamn long. All
right. Well, while he's pouring while us we're some doing drink, this, yeah, how's your week, Matt?
Yeah.
My week was really good, actually, because it was my spring break.
Drink that water,
Matt. Why do you want to water down your sake?
It was my spring break this week, which I know you're thinking, that's really fucking early, Matthew. Like, first week of
more
March.
Water in his cup than
shut
what
up
he just
let
drank.
Him talk about his week.
Sorry, continue. Okay, spring break.
First, that's a lot of sake. Good. Oh, my God. All right.
You first, just fucking chugged it out of the bottle.
I know, but that was for comedy. This is, like, going to be the whole night now. All right. Good Lord. All right. So I had a whole week to just, well, one, I was doing paid radio shifts. Oh, nice. It was over breaks, the radio station at North Central. You can get paid.
Awful. I'm just kidding. Exactly. Break it.
I was going to say, like, ooh. But I played the demo to Final Fantasy VII because I've never played Final Fantasy VII.
How dare you? Neither.
Never played it. mainly because I thought, mainly because like, it's one of those games where it's like, it's so far back that the graphics, it's a big hurdle to get over.
Well, yeah, it's like you have like 7 fucking polygons made of a character.
But it's also like they're making those polygons into their best effort to recreate the really, really beautiful character designs in the art book.
Yeah.
So true. Like you have Cloud looking like this guy with like Popeye arms and like the big like polygonal hair.
Exactly.
That's why
they have the book, so that you look at it, you're like, this is who I'm supposed to be playing.
Exactly.
If I just use my imagination,
exactly,
that's who I'll be playing.
But I played it and I was like, this is really freaking fun.
Oh,
the only literally the only frickin'.
We're explicit for a reason, Matt.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just use it.
Yeah, I don't. It's really fucking fun. So,
whoa, Jesus Christ.
So I'm going to keep thinking, by the way, every time I go to drink, I'm going to forget that this is sake.
It looks like water.
That's what I did last week or 2 weeks ago with that gin. Remember the gin? I thought it was water.
You did
like,
water this down, you motherfucker, because of that ice you poured in here.
I did. Yeah. Not on purpose.
Is that
sorry.
Why you poured so much? All right.
he was trying to fucking dilute the water.
Yeah, exactly.
You have a grand spring break?
I have. Brain? You know, I've been doing some writing, you know, sakurasunrise.blog. I posted a review of the movie that I'm going to be talking about later, okay, which is My Hero Academia, Heroes Rising.
I read a little bit of it until I realized when it was, and I was like, I'm not going to spoil anything, so I got out of your review.
I kept it as spoiler-free as possible. Oh. So, yeah, I always do that with reviews, because there's some things where it's like, everybody's like, metric for like, what's a spoiler and what isn't. It's like, it could be like, oh, I didn't want to know that person was like, alive. And I was like, but they're the main character, and it's like the first act of the movie.
How did I know they're gonna live until the end?
But yeah, Final Fantasy VII demo was awesome because I played a lot of Final Fantasy XV, and I was a little bit after a while. I was like, you know, the allure wore off, and I was like, man, this is this is like some really good stuff to play, but after a while you kind of realize like how much of it is like not finished.
Well, I mean, it's a demo, so I would hope.
No, I'm talking about Final Fantasy 15. Oh, like the only other like Final Fantasy game that I've played.
Mm.
And Final Fantasy 15, like that was one of those games where it's like it was never really finished, and then they were like, here's the season pass. I'm like, okay, I bought that. And then a year later, I was like, oh, here's the Royal Edition.
Yeah, they kind of just kept...
Yeah, we're just going to redo the entire ending of the game. Yeah. Which is granted, it's like, oh, yeah, great, they finished it. But they didn't really.
And they also made you pay for it.
And they also made you pay for that new...
Even though I bought the Deluxe Edition, even though I never played it.
Exactly. So it's like, I already bought a season pass, and now I have to once again buy something so that I can get the more complete version of this game? Like, what the hell is that? So I was pissed off about that, and they still haven't finished it, because there were certain DLC packs which probably weren't going to be that great anyway, but at least it would have finished and fleshed out the story. So it was annoying, it was a whole mess. So but the director who was originally going to work on Final Fantasy 15, he went on to make the Final Fantasy 7 remake, and it's just immediately like it feels so much more fun. I can definitely see it being a lot more challenging, like, later in the game. All the characters and the animations were beautiful. The only character that I wasn't vibing with was Barrett, because when they did the original reveal trailers years back, the guy who was going to voice him was going to be the guy who voices Jet from Cowboy Bebop. Like, super cool voice.
Right.
Just the perfect voice for that type of character. Big burly guy with a gun for an arm. Like, perfect. But the guy that they got now is just like, he's so like stereotypical, like tough black guy character that I'm just like, oh God, like shut up. Every time he talks, I'm just like, oh God, he's just...
That's what I've seen from like gameplay. People are just like, I don't like you, Barrett.
Yeah, he's just so annoying. And I get that, like, I'm inevitably going to play it. And by the end of the experience, I'll be, oh, Barrett, you're so lovable and sweet. But like, it's gonna be a hard time to get their point. There's always one character like that. Like in Final Fantasy 15, it was Gladio, because you'd think he's exactly my type, burly man with a big sword. But like, he was just so annoying, and he was like the least good voice actor in that party. So, but other than that, lots of Call of Duty. Lots of writing in my spare time. I also watched Castlevania season 3.
Oh shit!
And it's pretty good. I have certain thoughts on the ending because I feel like this season was very, very different.
Because
they kind of concluded like the first major story arc,
right,
with the first two seasons, especially with like the whole like war against Dracula thing. So it's kind of like, where do they go beyond that?
Right.
And I think that upon reflection, there in some ways they did it really well. I think it's just that the finale, like the way they finished the season, there were some moments where my dad like came into the room. It's like, are you enjoying the show or not? Because he heard me from the other room. Because like towards the end of the season, there's like this big episode where like all four of the stories that the season is following, two of those stories are in the midst of huge battles.
Right.
And the other two stories are literally just both at the same time having sex scenes.
Oh.
And they're intercutting between them. But like
a room.
Kind of, except like arguably like more titillating.
Right.
Which is Lisa's like, okay, that's something. But it was still awkward like watching like, oh yeah, here's an awesome fight scene with like demons and like magic and fire and death, and then it just cuts to like a sex scene. I'm just like, this feels like a disconnect here.
Something's not right.
Yeah. And one of the sex scenes was like especially confusing because it was just like two characters like getting into a threesome with another character, and I was like, wow, I didn't think that these characters would ever do this. Why are they doing this?
Where did this come from?
It's just very, very strange character moments and a lot of nihilistic writing towards the end. So it's interesting. If you enjoyed Castlevania, if you've watched it, I highly recommend the third season. I don't know what the fuck
that is.
It's an anime.
It's great.
On Netflix. It's great.
Yeah.
Actually, I've only ever seen the first season.
He's only seen the first season. Which is only four episodes. It's only 4 hours. You can finish it in a night. I highly recommend it. If you're bored one night, just like check it out. It's
literally like an hour, realistically. Yeah.
And then the second,
I have so many movies to watch right now.
This one won't take you like any time at all. And then the second, and if you're interested beyond that, second season's like 8 episodes. Season 3 is actually the longest at like 10 episodes, but then,
up in the ante.
Yeah, they are. But it, like, if you've enjoyed the previous seasons, you're going to love season 3. Right. It's just that the ending is going to either fill you with like a sense of like, no, I didn't quite like that. Or you'll be like, oh, I can't wait for the next season. So it's going to be
nowhere in the middle.
And it's going to be one or the other. Right. But I think at the end of the day, both groups will be like, I'm interested to see where they go from here.
Okay. So it's kind of how it was with, like, Last Jedi.
Kind of, yeah.
But, like, different.
Well, Mike, sir, how was your week?
Don't worry about it.
Why the fuck does he always do that? We're having a nice conversation, then he interrupts it so rudely. Shut it off. Shut it off.
Muting the mic. It was good. I worked a lot, like normal. Played some games. I got to play some Call of Duty as well.
You did?
I did. Hoping that the money I spent on the Battle Pass does not go to waste. Mm. Besides that,
I played some too.
We did. We had a grand time doing that.
Mm. Our scheme is we find a room.
Mm. And we lock the shit down of that room.
I guard the door because I am not a skilled player. Right. So I get my shotgun and I guard the door.
The shotguns in the game are very fun. So yeah, I don't blame you at all.
I don't blame you at all for that. And he just snipes him. I just watch his screen while I'm just looking at the door. And he's just like quick-scoping him and shit.
You're the guard dog.
Yeah, he's only just sitting there watching my screen and people just jump and like come in the room and kill him while I'm just like...
That did not happen this game. That might have happened previously. That did not happen this game. I was on top.
Anyways, Call of Duty. Great. Besides that, I actually signed up for a certification.
Ooh.
The Google IT support professional.
Big man.
Oh, yeah.
Cheers to that.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Cheers to that.
Yeah, cheers to that. I wish this was water.
But, oh, God.
A little interesting.
It's ricey.
Have you ever had, like, high-quality sake?
Hmm?
Have you ever had, like, good sake? The man had
good sake.
Yeah, I think there were some times where we'd go to, like,
Hana Fuji Apple. It's the best sake.
Excuse me, what? What the hell is that?
Hana Fuji Apple?
I don't know, that's what it was called, but I had it from some sushi place, and it was really expensive, but it was fucking delicious.
It was probably just this bogus ass shit, and they charged him up.
They just put apple juice in it?
We went to, because there are places in Japan called izakayas, which are essentially, like, it's where all the salarymen go, like, after work to just, like, get wasted with their friends and stuff like that. So, like, you go and, like, there was one called Toriki, where we would all just go in, we'd, like, order off. We just all get wasted. We order, like, appetizers and drinks off of, like, the tablet, and they'd bring it over to the tables. It was great. Lots of restaurants in Japan where, like, it's almost like they minimize all human contact, and you just, like, all right, you get your seat, you get your tablet to order all the shit you want to eat, and then... you just like pay at the front and then it's done. It's just
how it should be.
It's how it should be, exactly.
Fuck human contact.
Just fucker
human. Skynet.
So much. So if you ever go to Japan, the best thing about Japan, the people are wonderful, the culture is wonderful, but the best thing about Japan is the food. That is.
We went to the Japanese market. We got some delicious food.
Let's not jump ahead now, good sir.
That was part of my week too, bitch.
Fuck you is my experience.
That's true, actually. I took him and his father to the Japanese market.
Nice.
Great. I want to hear more about this certificate.
I mean, I just started it, so I...
What is it?
It's
like Google?
IT, yeah, it's IT support professional, so it's basically like Google kind of what I'm doing. No, it's just in general. So it's basically what I'm doing at Geek Squad, but like if I was to do it more like at a job, like I would be learning like binary and like networking, security, all that kind of stuff. It's like an 8-month-long thing. I can do it faster or slower. It could take up to 12 months. But, like, who wants to take 12 months for one class? Am I right?
Fuck that.
So,
yeah.
As it is, almost finished with week one, because I technically started Monday, so week one should be finished tomorrow.
Damn.
So, I will.
Very nice.
Oh, yeah. Besides that, there was something else I was thinking in my mind. And I can't think of what it was. But I just saw Birds of Prey.
Yes, we did.
We did all go see Birds of Prey. Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned.
We went to go see it at the LaGrange Theater. where they never properly crop the screen.
And they're also never crowded. And on this particular night, the lions were out the door.
Though, serpentine. What were they all going to see? Because they weren't at Birds of Prey.
We literally walked in. I was like, man, this is going to be completely packed.
By the way,
walking like three people.
Small foreshadowing to our Birds of Prey, to the continuation of the Birds of Prey review from when I was here. Did you guys see that one guy was walking out with their kid?
Why would he be?
It was right during the scene where the guy was getting,
he was having like cutting open the dress and shit.
Yeah, and I saw someone walking out with someone who looked small. And I was like, oh, did you really bring your kid to see it just because it was like a comic book thing? Seriously? Like,
Like, I went to go see the Joker on opening night, and this fucking guy brought a couple, I assume husband and wife, brought their like little ass kid to go see it. No. And I'm just like, oh, honey, you fucked up.
Let me tell you something. I remember watching Infinity War in theater with my family, and I remember there was some little fucking brat right behind us who was just like clearly not interested. They were like yawning, the way that any annoying kid who like wants to make it known that they aren't interested in what's going on. Did you lunge
back and kill him?
No, but I did turn around. I did one of these.
In the seats where, for those who can't see, Matt just did a sassy turnabout.
I did like a turnabout and like a glare. Mm. I was not happy, and it was right at the dad too. Because here's the thing: I always blame the parents in this situation because I believe that the very moment, the very second that a man thinks in his brain or says out loud, "Hey, honey, I'm not going to wear a condom tonight." From that moment until for the next 12 years, they are not allowed to go to the movie theater. That is a contract that they are making. I'm sorry, but like you either get the money to get a sitter or you just wait for the fucking Blu-ray release. Like,
or pirate it.
Just invest invest in a home theater setup.
We don't endorse the action.
Invest in a home theater setup, get a solid baby monitor, and just
go to town.
Go to town when it comes out on Blu-ray.
On Joker or Infinity War.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just not Endgame.
What?
But I also went to Buffalo Wings and Rings.
Yes.
Would you go Friday?
Yes. Yeah, that was yesterday. Yeah, Friday. Yeah, I went Friday. I had some mango mules. Fucking delicious. Mm-hmm. Tasted like juice. I was pretty buzzed after two of them because I was chucking them down because they were juice. Besides that, it was wonderful.
Say a bold statement that it was better than Buffalo Wild Wings.
I would agree. Matt just had a cold.
I had a cold. It was reheated. It's just that the chicken itself, like there was like very chewy. It was hard to get.
I think that might have been the microwave. It was a microwave.
I know. It's
not the same.
See, now I'm very skeptical about that place, and I don't.
It's because we got to go fresh.
I know.
Fresh.
I think he's just trying to lure you in.
Maybe.
It was actually really
popular. With the squishy-ass wings.
When we went there, I went with one of my coworkers. It was a...
Coworker.
It was a 40-minute wait.
Yeah, we're not going there.
But that's only because it was a Friday. Like, that was the first time where I had to actually like wait. And with 40-minute wait, we were like, fuck.
Where is it?
Somewhere in the city. Somewhere on the south side, I believe.
No, we're definitely not
going. Yeah,
it was good. I don't care what you guys say. You're coming.
We'll go to Au Cheval before we go there.
Au Cheval? I totally thought you were going somewhere else with that. The way you said Au Cheval. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, holy shit, man.
I listened to this podcast. You guys know Jocko podcast? Anyone know what that is?
I only know it from you telling me about it.
He's basically like this Navy SEAL that has a podcast, whatever. He brings like vets on and stuff. Mm-hmm. Cool. He had this Auschwitz survivor on, and it was like the most morbid thing to listen to what happened in Auschwitz. I was sitting there driving my truck at work, just like my mouth like open. Like, what the fuck is wrong with people?
It's awful.
When like the Russians were coming to kill them all, they were like, we got to get rid of the Jews. We got to get rid of the Jews because like they'll find what we've been doing to them. They'd like march them far away, make them dig a big pit, and then just shoot them all.
And then, yeah,
or they were just jamming them into, like, the fire pit, whatever you call it. Yeah. And they're just, like, burning alive.
It's so awful.
Yeah.
So awful.
I remember in, like middle school, like, watching a film. There was, like, an Anne Frank film.
Mm.
And, like...
sounds about right.
Yeah, and we watched that, and, like... You know, Anne Frank was fucking weird. Because it's like... Well, and I don't blame Anne Frank. I blame...
Excuse me, you insensitive, Jewish-hating... Fuck.
Jesus. I more blame...
Anti-Semitic.
I more blame like they're like, imagine like she was just this girl like keeping a diary of all the terrible things happening.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
And little did she know that there'd be people reading about her like masturbating like years from there.
That's true. That's in the diary? I've never read it.
Yeah,
well, like I think the publisher cut out some of those parts, but the point is like
originally, wasn't it?
Yeah, originally, yeah. But it's just
It's a diary. She didn't think anybody was going to read it. Let's be fair.
I just remember it was middle school. I was watching the film, and I'm thinking, "Oh yeah, this is about a girl, like, and all the terrible things of the Holocaust." But then, like, she's like, "What's a period?" And I'm like, "What the fuck?" I just remember at the beginning of the film, a guy walked into the room, and he was like dressed up as Hitler, and then everyone was like, everyone got silent, and they all started laughing. Like, "Oh, Uncle," because he was just like. Like, oh, the Jews like had a good sense of humor about Hitler. But then you think about it in retrospect, it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like,
it was just this weird scene where like someone that they knew walked into the room and dressed up as Hitler and then just like they started like doing like a rant, and then everyone was like,
Good joke.
We're never gonna die.
Oh, the whole thing of the Nazis is so fucked that they were able to get like an entire entire country, I mean, not the whole country, but like an entire army, which is a shit ton of people, to like hate this one race. And these soldiers at the concentration camps are just like killing kids and mothers and starving people. It's like, I can never do that. Even if the government,
If I was one of those soldiers,
I would go grab the minigun in the back and just start firing and killing as many people as I can. not the Jews, please. Not the Jews. Right, I would kill the Nazis. Fuck.
Thank you for being very specific there.
It had to be specific all the fuck.
People are going
to
be like, whoa!
One of our 50 viewers is Jewish, maybe, and will come for me.
They probably are, you insensitive bastard.
I love Jewish people.
While we're being insensitive.
They handle my money very well.
While we're being insensitive.
Oh,
they're,
no!
Oh, God!
Jesus Christ.
While we're being insensitive, there was a great bit on Smosh's Try Not to Laugh series where one of them
was like... So how new is this?
It's fairly recent.
He is the only human being that I know that still watches Smosh.
It's only recent because I remember watching Gus Johnson's appearance on Try Not to Laugh, and I was like, haha, Gus Johnson, you're such a card. But then I was like, but then all the other like new personalities, especially from Smosh Pit, which I think is the best YouTube channel from Smosh, like Damien Haas and Chain Top and oh my God, what's her name? Courtney Miller. That's her name.
Nice.
So like some great personalities, but like, one of them, Damien Haas came in and he had this wig on and he was like, hi, I'm a mother, but I'm also on a commercial right now. Get along you, and throws the prop baby across the room. And then it's just like, when I get home from a long day of work, I like to relax with my name is Sophie. And when I get home from work, I like to relax with a nice snack. So that's why I like the best kind of snack, the one where two come in a package, but you only get to pick one. Sophie's Choose. Get it? Because Sophie's Choice, the movie where it was like... Wow.
Do you even know Sophie's Choice?
The Jew insensitive fuck over here?
I'm sorry, what the fuck is Sophie's Choice?
Sophie's Choice is a movie where a woman has to choose between... I think it's something about like choosing between her, like, which like children, kind of? Like, oh. Which child to keep. Which child to like
some give
to
the fucked up movie that they showed to me in school.
Oh shit. It's awful. I've never seen that.
Did you watch that in school?
Yeah. I also watched, what is that David movie? My name is David
versus Goliath. I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
Can I just point out, we're spending a lot of time on the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Stop.
Okay.
Frank, how was your week?
How was your week, Frank?
Please don't talk about the Holocaust that you've listened to.
Well, matter of fact, that Holocaust podcast spawned... No, I'm kidding.
Oh, God.
14 hours of research and documentary. No, I'm kidding.
He's going to pull out like a... It's going to be Kronk from Emperor's New Groove. He's going to pull down like a slide.
It's all coming together.
As you see here, Peter. Well, my week. I'm going to start my week off on Sunday. You know what is a weird thing? So I always think of my week as Monday starting it because, right. You know, like your work week starts in school, but it's actually Sunday.
It's actually how it is in Japan, isn't it not? Don't they start Monday? Like on the calendar, at least they start Monday.
I think, because I think either it's for them, at least in high school, either Saturday or Sunday. It's only one day on weekends that they have a break.
Yeah.
In college, because I was there, obviously, you know, over over the summer in college. And so for them, it was Monday through Friday, like in the U.S. That's just universities.
All right, continue. Sunday.
Anyways, Sunday, if you listened to the sixth episode, you will know that we were talking about we're going to the Japanese market. What's the name? Mitsuha.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we went to Mitsuha.
We're so racially insensitive. Jesus Christ.
How is it racially insensitive? But
we're racially insensitive equally across all the races, so that makes us just insensitive.
I love everyone just as long as you're not an asshole.
True. if we can't see, which I know you can't see, Frank
and
put up
you are that fuck that changed Riddler as Hush. I hate you.
He put up a thumbs up and looked at me dead in the eye. Frank's seal of approval. I love it.
But a Sunday I went to Mitsuha. Did I say that right? Mitsuha?
Yes.
Mitsuha.
I loved it. I thought it was super cool. The bookstore we went in was awesome. I love seeing all like the books. There was like magazines and the Japanese writing and stuff.
Yeah, they had
they had like a Star Wars magazine I almost bought to put on the set. Which,
just to have on set.
But there's no point because like we don't do video
we
yet.
We also
so
can't
once
read
we
it.
Do video.
Yeah.
Who reads magazines? You just buy them to look cool.
But, He's not wrong.
So we went and we ate. The first thing we got was I was disappointed though. They ran out of a lot of things. So they didn't have like my first choices. They had my first choice for the meal, but I didn't get the white chocolate matcha iced tea latte. I just got a normal matcha latte, which was really good. I had that. And then I got this what the hell did I eat? I got like this
yakisobi.
Yakisobi. It's like a bunch of seafood, and then there's pork all over it, and it was so fucking good. I want to go back and eat it tomorrow. It's so fucking good. I destroyed the whole thing.
I don't think I've ever had yakisobi. I had the yakisoba, which is different. But
actually, it might have been yakisoba.
Well, because yakisoba is going to be like it's like a type of noodle. It's like a type of because it's like soba noodles, and then like.
And then yaki.
Well, it's not like because like ramen's like there's like a broth there, but with soba it tends to be kind of more of like
sauce.
It's almost more like a spaghetti type thing, like in terms of the consistency of like the like it's less more of a paste.
You might have had soba instead or yaki. I always thought it was always yakisoba.
It was something, and it was delicious. And all I can say, it's a very nice place. I like it. It's very cool. It's
awesome.
I was sad that they didn't have the little canned milkshake things I like, though. I was really depressed. I got this royal milk tea instead, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what the brand is called, but it's delicious. They make some really good canned coffee as well.
I like that place, though. It was really cool.
We need to go back so we can actually get some of the shakes and coffees.
Yeah. But, I mean, immediately after that night, I drank my royal milk tea and finished
it. You missed the worst part. I always told you about how the fucking... parfaits. What are the parfait? The crepes.
The crepes.
Fucking crepes. Every single time.
Indeed.
Me and Bella go. We either miss it.
It was packed, or they say too. No. There was a shit ton of people there.
There's always a ton of people.
But this time we actually went before 6:30. Before 6:30.
Was it still out?
They said we're sold out. I was like, you fucking kidding me? The one time we come before 6:30.
I feel like there's
this woman has still not tried the crepes.
I feel like they're starting to like lose supply or something like that.
I think they just hate making them because every time, like, I feel like usually there's like these teenage girls. Some of them are like fine, but like these other ones are just like playing like rap music in the back, like making boba tea for people. And whenever it's that
those goddamn teenagers,
literally, whenever it's like those kind of teenage girls, they'll be like, we're no longer serving crepes. I think they just hate making them, to be honest.
Maybe, but like also I think it's like okay, this is gonna sound racist. But it's just like
insensitive.
Our good friend Colin made a point. It's like, well listen,
you can tell us after the break.
Okay.
Ad break. Ba-bam. Welcome back.
Shazam?
We have to make a new ad, by the way. Our old one is awful.
Yeah, we're sorry if you.
I mean, it's probably not that bad. I think just me listening to it is pretty cringy.
Yeah, but when we listen to it, we hate it. Yeah.
Hey, you can have me work on the next ad with you guys.
Oh, have a three. We'll threesome that ad.
Yeah, like Castlevania season 3.
Exactly.
So what I was going to say earlier was that it's more of like it's less of like something that I believe in genuinely, and more of something that's just been a running joke amongst me and my friends is that. Whenever we go to like the crepe place or we go to any place like that serves like ramen or any type of Japanese food, we're always just like whenever we see that the person making our food is some teenager from LaGrange, Illinois, we're like, this isn't going to be as good. It's not going to be as good. And sure enough, the crepe that I got the one time from Mitsuwa that I got a crepe, and it was just some random part-time not worker. Not an
old Japanese.
Not one trained in the art. But
yeah, the most recent one was somebody that I knew was like, they really looked like they knew how to do it. And they literally had it basically it was all just balled up in a cup.
That's shameful. Shameful.
It's quite shameful.
They might as well just not sell them.
So my
say that, damn it, I like them.
So then my friend will be like, you can see it ain't that good because the white man
made it. Oh, see, it's not racially excessive, it's about a white person.
Yeah.
That's what society says these days, remember?
Always suppressing.
So we're getting too real.
Strong, independent white man. Sick of this.
God, it's so loud.
All right, continue your week. Frank.
Fuck. We watched Venom later that night.
Venom.
I thought it was awful, I'm not going to lie. I thought it was kind of enjoyable, but it was pretty bad. And I was like, I'm not going to fail this movie. But then I watched the end credit scenes, and I was just like, yep, that's it. It's awful.
There's going to be carnage.
I was like, are you kidding me? That was so ridiculous. And I am a great villain.
I am unironically excited for the sequel, though, because Andy Serkis is directing it, and some of the set photos legit look.
And Tom Hardy's actually working on
you the can't, yeah. You can't not be excited for it because Tom Hardy's in it, and there's going to be carnage.
Yeah,
there's going to be carnage.
I just can't wait for... I hope to God they fix his accent.
Tom Hardy? Yeah, it's a little weird.
It's very strange.
A little weird.
Because I'm telling you, the content theory I hear is that originally the film was supposed to be set in New York, and so he probably was trying gonna do a New York accent, but then they're like, no, it's in Los Angeles.
He kind of has a New York accent. It's also because they said he lived in New York.
Yeah, I don't know. And then, again, this is one of the screenwriting things where it's like they had to jump through a lot of hoops because yeah. the film already feels like something that should have come out in 2005.
Yeah, no, for sure.
That's what I was telling you. I was like, yeah, it reminds me of the old. It feels like an old. And now it's nostalgic in kind of the best
way. And now we're gonna get the same thing with Morbius and with Vin Diesel's Bloodshot.
Oh wow! Yeah,
it's a new trend. It's a throwback trend.
Throwback Sunday.
I'd rather just get really good
on Saturday. True.
But yeah, I just worked. I went to jiu-jitsu.
Nice.
It's pretty much what I did for majority of the week. Friday.
Have you learned to kill a man yet?
He already knows how to kill a man.
I can, yeah. If I squeeze them long enough, they will eventually die.
He can explode your knee.
That's hot.
I can. That which fucking explode. It's very knee. Scary when I get caught in the move. I just been like, yep.
Tap out. I'd like to keep my knee.
Yeah, it's scary. I've seen a very famous jiu-jitsu match is between the guy that actually invented the school that I go to. Mm-hmm. He was against a very famous person in it. He had a submission. It's called a heel hook where he's twisting and bending your knee, and the guy was just like, nope, fuck you, I'm not gonna tap. He just let him bust his knee in half. He's just sitting there, his ligaments are all ripping and everything. He's just like,
he's chilling. Did you ever see that video? There was that guy who basically was allegedly he had mastered this martial art where he didn't touch people, but Aikido. He you wouldn't even have to touch them to get them to knock yeah. over. And then some UFC guy was like, I'll fight him. And then the video is just him just beating the shit out of him.
If you ever see Aikido videos.
Aikido is taking your thumb and twisting it
yeah, right, slightly. Take your thumb and I 90, twist you and you like 90 flip degrees or something. Over.
Yeah. You're like, thumb lock. Now you're paralyzed.
It's awful. But yeah, my fucking, just a normal, nice week. I had a decent time. Friday came along. I chilled Friday, worked out. Here Saturday. And I'm slightly disappointed, not gonna lie.
With what?
We didn't get beat up.
Yeah. Oh fuck, dude! I was gonna mention that in my week too.
Because so there's a UFC. It's a UFC fight that we're currently actually watching.
It's on the back. Huh?
Yeah. It's like our.
Well, you guys are watching
Poland yeah. versus China, technically.
Yeah, technically. Yeah.
I 100% paid for this. Mm-hmm. I would never rip off this never. Stream by never any ways. Mm-hmm. We have
standards. We're very legitimate. We're
yeah,
very,
we condone legal streaming.
Fresheners have standards.
But yeah, damn. So we walked in because listen, I've been craving wings all week. If I watch more than one episode of Hot Ones, I'm craving wings.
I agree.
And me and Michael,
unless they're eating some vegan nuggets like Billie Eilish was.
But those could be good though, because listen, with wings, I feel like it's more about the sauce than it is about what it actually is. And cauliflower wings can be sauce. Cauliflower exactly. wings can actually be pretty lit. I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, we were hankering for some wings. We went there, and as we were getting there, we were like, man, it might be packed.
No, I told you guys, I'm like, it's going to be packed.
It's going to be packed.
It's going to be packed.
So, it was way too packed. Not it's so packed that we couldn't even like rationalize getting like takeout.
Yeah. Like it was so packed that I even want to ask for the wait, because I knew they were probably just going to be like, probably just stare me down for a second and be like 3 hours or
little
some
did
shit.
We know that like all those people were leaving or something and there well was the big no thing way. Is
I, everybody was sitting down I can almost guarantee you none of those people were leaving
yeah.
into the
no
fight
for
though.
Sure yeah
but then like we basically were like listen I want some motherfucking spicy chicken so we went across the street to well across the parking lot I yeah, should say to Chick-fil-A which
not
honestly
a bad choice.
Not I mean, a bad I'm, choice I'm not... and here's the thing I go here's the thing we've gone to B-Dubs a lot in the last couple of like months for me, like Chick-fil-A, I don't go there nearly enough. So I was more than happy to go to Chick-fil-A as a backup because that chicken sandwich was to die for. Those souses were to die for. And, I got a
I
shake,
get the Chick-fil-A sauce,
which I don't think that B-Dubs has shakes.
They probably shakes. Do.
They probably
do. Shakes, but
which I mean, if we have, because here's the thing, we were all going to get like, you know, mango.
I was
going to
get some honey.
Some mango habanero.
Just get normal.
Basic.
we're just going to get some normal plates, you know.
Because mango plate. Habanero is like the best flavor they've got, in absolutely. My opinion. And so then, but then we were all simultaneously earlier in the day, we text each other and was like, so are we just going to get like a small plate of the hottest wings they have?
Simultaneously.
Literally every single one of us posted that same text.
Within like seconds.
Yeah. Within seconds. It was
so
beautiful.
It was meant to be. And
so it was meant to be. But then the universe said no.
It said, fuck you.
I bet if we had gone before seeing Birds of Prey.
It probably would have been better.
We probably could have made it work.
That's true.
But honestly, I'm glad it worked out the way it did. Because it's been a while since I've been to Chick-fil-A. So
we also probably would just be starting this now if we went to B-Dubs.
Pretty much.
That's
so.
True. Yeah. Because it would be also... Because Birds of Prey, we either had 6:55 or like 8 o'clock. So like,
yeah.
We didn't have much room.
Yeah, 8 o'clock at like the Yorktown Theater,
yeah.
And then like 9.
We would have had to pay for
at the LaGrange.
No,
yeah, and
free.
Yeah, through methods.
Well, fuck.
We won't disclose.
Let's dive into some actual content because I'm sure these people are
fucking
not giving a fuck
fucking
about
Rise of Skywalker confirming that fucking Palpatine.
We talked about this last week,
goddamn,
Matt. If you listen.
I unfortunately did not. I'm still.
Sorry,
episode,
hey, let's get his thing.
Okay, let me tell you. It's fucking horse shit because, listen, you can't just be like, oh, we'll just confirm all this shit in a commentary track and it'll be fine. No,
well, they didn't do
you.
It in commentary. They did it in the novel.
Oh great, the novel,
the book that no one reads,
the book that no one's gonna read, the books that like for I. Listen,
no, I'm with you.
Force Awakens.
I'm just glad
we
got the confirmation.
There's that great scene where where BB-8 gives the middle finger to Finn.
Right.
And everyone's like, oh, was it a thumbs up or a middle finger? And it was clearly a middle finger. It's more funny if you think of it as a middle finger. But then the novelization was like, no, it's a thumbs up. It's like, fuck you. And then like in like apparently the Last Jedi novelization, Kylo says to Rey, like, see you soon, honey, or some weird shit like that.
No, there's a bunch of weird shit. So
fuck the novelization.
Don't credit me on this, but I'm pretty sure I was scrolling through something and came along on Instagram like the kiss between Rey and Kylo was
not romantic. That's what
no,
they
it
were
was
saying.
Not romantic. It was just out of like we did it. Let's fucking
like
tongue each other. Like
you guys are like, oh my god, Frank, we did the podcast.
Yeah!
We did. people don't do that. Okay. If that were the case, I would have made out with every single person in this room at some point. That doesn't happen. It was a romantic kiss, and some people weren't a fan of it. I was fine with it.
I was totally fine with it.
But what I'm not fine with is them being like, "Well, the movie's out. It's made a shit ton of money, so I guess we can just like confirm or deny whatever fucking plot points we deem appropriate." They're like, "Oh yeah, you know, Palpatine. You know, we didn't explain how he came back from the dead. Let's just say he was a fucking clone. Who gives a shit? Fuck that. Fuck off."
Yeah. I actually read the entire, like, the piece of the page.
Yeah, last episode.
Read it to you. And it was like, Kylo sees his awful clone vessel. It's like, why?
I like it personally.
If we got what we got, and I'm glad that we got to know that he's a clone, like, mm-hmm. we don't have to theorize it, I'm happy we have that, but it's like what he said. It's like, why the fuck can we not just have it in a movie? It's so easy. Just be like, are you a clone? Or I don't know, something. Dark side cloning ability. Right. He's like, I don't know.
Or even Kyle's like, how are you alive? Or some shit. He would be like, I'm a clone.
All that ends up feeling like is that the writer of the novel was like, well, I didn't like this part of the movie, so I'm going to expand upon it here.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just supplementary content. It's like, but like, no, like, this isn't fucking Monogatari. Like, it's fucking Star Wars. Like, you don't need, like, a bunch of different content.
Didn't you say that they, like, confirmed that the father was also a clone or some shit?
So, this is also along the lines of...
But literally, I think it makes more sense.
Wait. Yeah. This is along the lines of the last thing I said. Don't take it 100%. If you hear it here, go look it up on Google to confirm it. I'm not sure. But, I remember reading somewhere that the father is a failed clone of Palpatine. Of Rey's father is a failed clone of Palpatine that, like, got out somehow or something along those lines, which is interesting.
Wouldn't that make,
I like it better?
But then, okay, but they have that. But then, why the fuck would that not be in the movie? That's the thing, yeah, it's like, why just not add that? Yeah. You just make it more ridiculous.
Also, wouldn't that make Rey Palpatine's daughter?
Yeah,
technically.
Unless Palpatine's like, I'll clone myself and call him my son.
Yeah.
Do it, son.
It's like mini-me.
It's like weird, like Metal Gear Solid clone logic.
Exactly.
Like Metal Gear Solid 4 at the end, like, Solid Snake, like, sees Big Boss, and it's like...
He's like,
what should I call you, brother? And it's like, what?
Excuse me? Oh, shit. Well... Star Wars, we could always talk about it forever.
Yeah.
But we need not to.
Well, I think we should just take a full force dive right into the movie we saw all together. We went to go see a movie together before we ate.
We had a
nice evening. Yeah, we went to go see Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
Hey! Harleen Quinzel.
Bam!
Can I just say real quick that there's an unfortunate trend with a lot of films, like with there's a film called The Kid Who Would Be King, and then there was also there was another film. There's this trend where, like, we'll go see a film and there'll be like it was Doolittle. Films that have animated intros explaining the plot, and then right before
It's
okay.
I always raspberry when I mess up.
I talked to him. I was like, Frank, don't you dare fucking raspberry if you mess up.
I told you not to do that weird voice, and you've done it a few times.
You did it first, you jackass.
I told you not to do it.
Yeah, I don't know why the fuck we do that.
I don't know. I was going to point it out, but I'm so glad you guys already caught on.
Fuck.
Yeah. Trust me, any flaws that we've done.
We already know our own flaws.
We're getting used to this, man.
But I never thought about that when I first saw it, but that should have been a point of concern for me initially, because, like, with Kid Who Would Be King and Doolittle, both of those movies ended up not being that great. Thankfully, I ended up really liking Birds of Prey.
Oh, there you go.
So, and it was also really cute.
I liked the introduction.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked the intro as
well. I liked how the Joker looked too. He looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
In the introduction. I loved
the introduction.
Because technically it was supposed to be Jared Leto's Joker.
And I also like how that animated version of the Joker, that same art style is reflected in that sign that she has on the wall she throws knives at.
And it actually looks like a good Joker instead of the hideous one we got.
Yes. Oh, thank God I finished the saga. I can drink water.
Holy fuck, Matt.
You need some of this. No, I'm just kidding.
Holy shit. That was a big-ass glass.
Yeah.
I had a lot of food before this to soak up the alcohol.
Nice.
Do you mind if I dive in?
Go ahead. Dive in.
Go right ahead.
I'll do mine after.
I've said enough.
So I'm going to talk about what I didn't like first.
Okay.
So I'm just going to put this out first.
Okay.
I liked the movie. I thought it was an enjoyable, fun movie.
Okay.
Okay. I'd say the two things that stuck out to me the most that I don't hate, but I kept looking at Michael and being like, why? I thought And I'm going to correct myself about something at the end, but I thought Montoya,
yeah,
I hated her. Really? I'm sorry.
That surprised me.
I hated the actress and I hated the character. She was so fucking annoying.
Really?
Yes, I wanted to just like she pops in at the end and she Harley Quinn goes like this bitch and I'm saying the same fucking thing. I'm like, can she fucking leave already? Yeah, so I didn't like her.
Right, I can agree with that.
Can you explain a little more why?
She just rubbed me in all the wrong ways.
It was just
all of the wrong ways. She was like obnoxious.
Yeah,
she. I don't know. There, it was just like. And a lot I of know Montoya problems. From the animated series, and I love her in the animated series, and she's way different from that. And that's not why I hate her, but...
The biggest thing I have a problem with the movie, I will say right off the bat right now, they tried too hard to try to make them stubborn, strong female characters, in my opinion.
Yeah, like...
I'll let that stupid like, okay, like let him finish up first.
My second thing I didn't like, which I'm going to say something at the end, so don't jump on me.
Okay.
I thought this in my head, like, mental note, that I hated Huntress. Sorry, just fucking...
Really?
I hated Huntress in the beginning, because I felt like she was I thought she was an awful actor. I thought she was just horrible. Two, I feel like she was a side character, completely ignored to become a main character. I feel like she was just pop up randomly, shoot someone, then run away and be like,
yeah,
I'm the arrow lady. It's like, fuck you.
Should be crossbow, fucking idiot.
It's a crossbow at the end.
Crossbow killer.
I realized at the end, I don't mind her acting because I guess she's supposed to be socially awkward or something. Because she was raised an assassin, which I got that at the end, which I was like, that's fine. I still didn't like how she was kind of in the shadow of everything else, which was okay, but it's like, I don't know. I feel like she wasn't that important, and it was annoying when she was made important at the end.
I can feel that. I can agree with that.
Another thing, I have two things, actually.
Okay.
So this isn't something I hate, but isn't it amazing how many abandoned amusement parks are in Gotham?
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
And my favorite thing is how there's still, like, the electric bill is paid.
Yeah, because everything
the
is
Joker
still
just pulls that one big switch, turns it on, the whole thing turns on.
Sparks fly out of the lever real quick, everything turned on slowly and shit.
Who turned on the amusement park in this movie? Because at that scene where they were underground with the thing spinning, like, how the fuck was everything on downstairs?
Yeah, was that just automatically on? Like, did somebody forget to turn that right off when it shut down because it was underground? That you fucking left it on the whole time?
There's some very, like, I don't know.
But like I said, it's a fun movie, so you just gotta go with the fun.
Yeah, you can't just think, that's a lot of superhero movies. If you sit and think about it for a long time, you're
also, like, just, like, in terms of the sets, like, it felt like one of, like, those, like, really kind of, like, not very talked about, but, like, super memorable, like, animated series episodes where, like, they'd focus on characters that weren't Batman, or then, like, it would just be, like, this crazy adventure. That's what it felt like, especially when they were in, like, the like, amusement park funhouse. Right. Because, like, all the characters jumping around and all the different, like, weird, like, attractions and stuff like that.
A weird thing I had with that whole fight, in the just because we're talking about it right now, is the fact they played Barracuda, right?
Right.
But, like, mid-fight, they just kind of stopped it
and continued
a different song.
That
was really weird to me.
I even said when they paused it and went back, I was like, Barracuda, like waiting for them to like start it up again, but whatever.
I just feel like that was weird. But continue. I know you have one more.
So what has sold me on this movie was the lovely, sexy Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
He was fucking amazing. I loved him in this movie. And him and Victor Zsasz's relationship, Black Mask, is perfect. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing, and I fucking enjoyed every moment.
I enjoyed that very well.
I thought he was hilarious, and Victor Zsasz was hilarious too.
He was really creepy, but he was like you kind of laughed at it because you're like, you're fucking weird, dude.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I loved about
the
Zsasz
end
was
that Ewan McGregor was hilarious.
Oh, so great! And then like I also just love. I love
only
Zsasz.
Master Vivo, Dad. When you said that, I fucking died.
Because there are a lot of
it didn't fit at all, but it just made me laugh.
It's just about the best quote.
Because there are a lot of people.
Only a Master of Evil, Dad.
there are a lot of people who got like kind of angry at Birds of Prey. I was like, man, this isn't Zsasz. Like, he doesn't have where's all his scars and all that shit. And then like But like, well, clearly he didn't watch the movie because eventually he does show the scars, and it's like, and it's, especially when he said that.
I took a big ass fucking gulp of that.
Sake.
I have to say, I'm not really a sake fan, not gonna lie.
It's like rice wine weird stuff.
Right, as soon as he like, good, as soon as he said like, like I'm saving a special place for you, I was like, oh man, that's, I mean, that's just Zaz right there. That's him entirely. They cast him so perfectly.
Yeah, Black Canary was great too.
I loved her.
Continue.
Excuse me.
I know you got something. No, you got something.
I loved Harley Quinn, mm-hmm. as usual. She was fantastic. She looked great. Her hyena was fantastic. I loved that.
Yeah, I
loved
the Bruce.
I loved the beater. Beaver, excuse me. So she was a 10 out of 10. Her and Ewan McGregor and Zaz literally sell the movie for me myself.
Right.
Just that alone. But there were some cringy moments, you know, but they're, like, you can look past them because it was enjoyable. And what I gave it, I came to the conclusion was I gave it a B.
Okay.
So that's like an above average. I liked it. I thought it was good.
I'm about to rock your world right now. I hated it. I did not like the movie.
You fucking with us right now?
I don't know. I did not like the movie.
Oh, really?
I'm legitimately, I did not like the movie.
Yeah, I'm over here praising it, and he's like agreeing with me.
I'm going to give it a D plus.
Wow.
Whoa.
Pretty bad, although watchable in parts.
Oh, can you read what a B is for me?
For B or B plus?
A B. I gave it a B.
Good, a solid effort, not essential viewing, but worth seeing. You keep it at that? Okay. I'm giving it a D plus. Me, I get, see, here's the difference, though, between you two and me. You two are DC people. I know almost nothing about
it. I also love Harley Quinn and the Joker.
I like Harley Quinn. At least from what I saw, because again, I'm going off of just the movies I've seen. Realistically, I don't know much about DC besides that, which I guess is not much to go off of. But me being a non-diehard DC fan, I did not like it. I will say, I agree, I did like Black Mask, Zaz, I don't remember his first name.
Victor Zaz.
Yeah. Victor Zaz, Harley Quinn, always good. But the
I'm in shock right now that you just hated it.
It's like, I can't put my finger on it, but I'm not going to lie, Bella also did not like it. Me and her looked at each other throughout the movie, and I was like, I don't really like this. It got to a point where I'm like, I kind of just wanted it to end so I could leave.
Part of me wishes we'd seen it in a different theater.
That wasn't it. I can guarantee you that was not it.
It's okay, Matt. I loved it. Okay.
And that's
which I was not expecting that because I remember you were very skeptical about it.
Yeah, just because I was like, DC just needs to fucking stick some roots in the ground and make like a Batman movie or something.
I liked Harley Quinn's parts mostly. And I liked Ewan McGregor's parts. Those were great. And that's what I feel like it should have basically just been a Harley Quinn movie. Because the Birds of Prey were more of secondary.
I wouldn't have mind like a Harley Quinn movie with Black Canary just being in it, because Black Canary was, that's basically what it is. Montoya was annoying as fuck, might as well cut her out.
I didn't like Montoya. I didn't like Huntress, like you were saying. Later on, I kind
of
like Huntress,
and the Huntress character is so cool. She's the like heir of, not the heir, but the child of the mob, and they get killed. She goes out but Sicily
that's,
to
that's
train.
One of my biggest like, things too on. Though is that almost all the characters besides Black Canary, everybody else is more of just kind of like sidelined through most of the movie. Montoya was kind of doing her own thing.
She was more main.
But then like Huntress was extremely just like sidelined. Huntress right at the end. I'm going to team up for you because we should. I don't know. It's just that I need more time to kind of let it brew in my mind. But as it is coming straight off of it, I'm giving it a D plus.
See, okay. I'm really surprised you guys weren't vibing with Montoya because
I was not vibing with Montoya at all.
Not at all.
So was it just? So what was it? What
I'm gonna
was
have
it
to
exactly?
see it again.
All right,
but
to be honest, if I see it again, I know Matt is not gonna like this, and I don't think you would agree with me either. I was just kind of likening to Suicide Squad the entire time I was watching. I'm like, if I watch this
you
again,
what?
Kind of comparing to Suicide Squad, where I'm thinking if I watch this again, I think I'm gonna hate it more. Not gonna lie.
I feel like that's the opposite for me. This is like the first movie we get to see Harley Quinn on the big screen in her like element.
Don't get me wrong.
Like Harley Quinn Suicide Squad
and
Harley Quinn in Gotham is completely different story.
Right. Again, I liked Harley Quinn, but it's just
what did you think of the action?
I like the action with Harley Quinn.
Yeah,
that was basically it. Okay. I don't really like much of the other action.
You didn't like the fight scenes at the end when they were all.
To be honest, I liked Harley Quinn's parts, but everything else was kind of like
handle Black Canary. Montoya boxing.
Yeah, Montoya boxing. Like, come on. Huntress, I didn't mind because she was like flipping around. She's an assassin. She's like shooting. That was actually pretty cool.
And I'm really sad you guys didn't like Montoya because, like, for me, so the main reason that I really like Montoya is that
we really broke his heart.
I feel like.
Sorry, wait, before you continue. Again, I'm going towards that. They tried too hard to make them strong, stubborn. Black Canary, I think they handled fine. Her character was well. Maybe it was the acting, too, partially.
I think it was Black Canary's character was supposed to be weird.
Maybe. Margot Robbie and Harley Quinn, completely fine. It was mostly Montoya. Huntress was just kind of awkward, so that was kind of fine. I guess it was mostly just Montoya.
The Huntress thing, like that was, I think, what saved it, is because she wasn't in it for a while, and like you have that built in mystique, and I guess you're expecting a certain payoff, but like by that point they couldn't pay it off by fully committing to her being like, oh, she's like
the. See, that's the cool thing is that they were showing like, oh, it's kind of like they're trying to make it mysterious, but like I didn't really care.
Well, it's,
yeah, it's like when it came down to it, I was like, just get back to Harley Quinn so I can see more of her.
In the beginning, they did the whole thing where she shot the mob boss. I'm like, oh, is this
you're like, oh, that's cool. Interesting.
And she was just like gone for the whole movie.
But exactly. Like, so you see, there's a scene like that, and then that kind of builds intrigue, and it's like, okay, well, that's something they have to pay
out. It didn't build enough intrigue, at least for me.
I know, but that's why I'm saying that it works at the end, because then they realize, like, oh, like, she's like, alone, like she's like socially awkward in a really adorable way, in a really endearing way, and then her kind of, you know, by necessity teaming up with all these other girls. Like, for me, the biggest reason why I love
that was part of the reason where it kind of got me. I was like, it wasn't really necessity so as much. Besides, like, she was like, yeah, I already did what I need to leave. I'm gonna leave. And she's like, well, actually, who do you think funded this? And then she's like, okay, I guess I'll stay. And then I was like, that was kind of the end of it. And
I also miss Black Canary's blonde locks.
But also, I think...
Yeah, I'm just so used to her being blonde just from other things and, like, the games and stuff that I've seen.
But also, if you consider it, like, she also was probably seen a bit of herself in Cassandra, who was in a similar situation to herself. Hence, you know, we have scenes, like, when she, like, gives Cassandra the same, like... the same toy car that her brother handed her. I think that there, again, it's the smallest subtle moments of character building that turn a character that normally would have just been like, oh wow, she had like so little time to develop, and makes her a character that I feel like I actually learned more about in a way that I thought was meaningful. Now, the reason I need to explain my thoughts on Montoya, because I know that this, like, not everybody is going to relate to like her character.
Right.
I just think that it's a fascinating character because it's something that I personally can't relate to, like her whole arc. But from the very beginning, they immediately make it clear, like, exactly like the challenge that she's facing in her career, being that like she has been kind of robbed of like a lot of the credit for police work that she has done. And she's essentially been kind of gaslighted at work. And I think that's something that a lot of women can probably relate to, maybe, or at least some women can relate to, of like having, you know, credit taken from them, or like having people, like, you have that moment where like the police officer is like, she like tells him to go like, hey, go to ballistics and get, you know, and do this or that. Mm. And then like the guy literally looks at her partner, the fucking doofus, and is like, and like waits for him to give like the go ahead. Like that to me, like Emilia was like, even though I'm not a woman, like I can look at that and be like, yeah, I can understand how that would be like super fucking frustrating.
The reason, and I kind of feel the opposite, not the opposite exactly, but I feel like I've seen it in movies and shows where it's still like the same thing happens to a guy and you're still like, oh, that sucks. But they like just played under, they just did the same thing that I've seen before still happened to male characters. Mm-hmm. But then they like push it and it's like, this is because she's a female character specifically. And I mean, I've seen the trope happen to all characters.
Don't disrespect women.
No, I mean, I'm not disrespecting women. I just say that
we stand for women on this podcast.
We do. Yes, we do.
Pro women. And I just want to put this out there. Tomorrow is National Women's Day, right?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
International.
International Women's Day.
Yeah, international, idiot. Wait, what the fuck does that mean? Does that mean like...
just around the world.
Yeah. I was okay, around the world, right?
It's global.
That's what I thought.
So,
Global Women's Day.
Are we wrapped up on Birds of Prey or any final
thoughts? Well, I just want to say that for me, I just think that... And you know, I'm
sorry, you gave it an A, right?
I gave it an A plus.
Oh shit, A plus.
Yeah, because I mean, honestly, like just the whole, going through the whole thing, I was just so
you like what you like, man.
I was just blown away by it. It really is. Yeah, and I think that you know, I'm sorry you didn't enjoy it more. Okay. I'm really sorry because I was really hyping it up.
That's
all right. So
I think that might have been part of it.
Yeah,
that's why I usually try to not hype up any movies for anybody ever.
Yeah, and but for me, I just think that it comes down to like you know. Not as a way you can relate to, but I think just like you were saying that like they may have pushed the messages too hard. I think there's a subtext in those scenes where it's like, oh, it's because she's a woman. But I think that's the type of subtext where. Well, this is it's also very topical and very current. So I feel like sometimes we'll see a scene like that and we'll be like, yeah, I mean, it's well intentioned, but like. We feel uncomfortable maybe because it relates to current political discussions that already make us kind of like, oh God, I don't want to get into this.
I'm generally not like that. I will say there are times where I feel like that, but just for me personally, it wasn't really like that specifically. It was just like, I was feeling like, so I don't know. It just like, why? It's most of the time it was like, why? Like, I understand the message.
I get what you're saying.
Like, I understand the message and everything. I know. Like, I can see both sides.
I get both of you. That's why I meet you in the middle. That's why I'm at, like, a B.
Right. I got you.
Because I enjoyed it. I'll watch it again, and I will recommend it to people. I thought it was great. If you want to see a great Harley Quinn movie, awesome. You get to see an amazing Black Canary.
Really good. I actually did think that was a good Black Canary. Well, that's another thing for me, at least, because it's weird because as not a fan... I was like, I didn't know exactly all the characters, but I knew Black Canary and what she could do. So when she didn't do anything until the last moment, I was like, finally.
She was coming to it. Now they're probably going to make a Birds of Prey movie with the whole crew and whatever.
Yeah.
I'll watch it still.
Yeah.
Just because I like that movie. But any final thoughts on...
I think I'll cut it off there.
Birds of Prey?
No. Okay.
And the Fantabulous?
No, I wanted to say this specifically.
Oh, God.
No shot at you, Matt. No shot at anybody who liked the movie. I would much rather watch the Incredible Hulk movie that's considered canon in Marvel.
Holy shit.
That's very specific.
Because I don't like that movie.
Oh.
That's the reasoning for me.
We hold the standard here on this podcast, and the Hulk movie is
I don't even consider it part of the Marvel universe, even though it technically is.
Right.
Just because of how much I hate it, and it really doesn't have any context or
rest
of the universe.
It's okay. I liked the movie. So
but I just wanted to say, I had to put it out there, I would rather watch that movie.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I know I have strong feelings about
Matt's going to go home, look in the mirror, be like, stupid.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, God.
Anyways, we're jumping into our movie segment of the week. Michael fucking...
That was my review.
That was his review, but me and Matt went above and beyond and decided to pick another movie for you fans. So I'm going to segue in because the movie I'm going to review this week is Batman and Harley Quinn, the animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
Harley Quinn theme. Oh. So it's a movie taking place.
Watch a lot of Harley Quinn. Last week it was fucking. You were talking about DC Universe and that Harley Quinn animated thing.
Yes, I'll talk a little bit about that. But it takes place in the animated universe, which I was surprised that they're making content still in that universe. It's designed like the second wave of the Batman animated series. You know how they like changed him a little bit to make him like the black costume and the dark gray and Nightwing look different and
yeah,
Robin
like
was different.
The season four look.
Yeah, the volume four, whatever. They did that, and I'm going to say the first half of the movie that I watched, I was like, this is a really funny movie, because Nightwing was in it, and Nightwing had his hair cut, so he didn't have the mullet, so he was pretty cool looking in it. So Batman...
He had a mullet in the animated series.
Ew.
Yeah.
don't you
Business
dare.
In the front, party in the back.
Hey, it's Nightwing. Dick Grayson slays the puss, and he slays the puss in this movie.
Yeah, he fucks Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn.
Well, technically, hold on.
Harley Quinn, like, rapes him, but you know Nightwing's into it.
Oh,
okay. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, technically, Harley Quinn fucks him.
But he liked it. So and then Batman walks in. That was weird. I didn't like that.
He consents.
Yeah. Yeah, he consents.
Okay.
But I didn't like that. I thought that was weird. But before that happens in the...
Sorry, I just saw like Mark Wahlberg like interviewing like Post Malone in an ad.
Yeah, we have the UFC on right now. Okay. Stylebender and Yoel Romero are about to fight. But before that happened,
T'Baku.
This is where Nightwing finds Harley Quinn. He finds...
It is T'Baku.
He
from
finds...
King, from Black
fuck
Panther.
You.
Sorry.
He finds Harley Quinn... In a superhero Hooter bar.
Right.
So she's like dressed up as Harley Quinn being like,
like having her like tits out and stuff, like whatever. I thought that was a little weird. I thought her voice was whack. I specifically wrote that down. I thought it was
weird because the voice actress for Harley Quinn was not as good as like the other people they've gotten.
It's not.
It's actually you know the girl from Big Bang Theory with a high pitched voice. It's her.
Which one is that? Which girl in Big Bang Theory is that?
The girl dating the Jewish guy.
Yes, the like very geeky girl.
Yeah, the very with blonde hair and glasses. Fucks, like, yeah, that's the girl who does the voice of Harley Quinn. I
love that show.
Big Bang Theory?
Big Bang Theory? Oh, wow. You like trash.
Like how fucking dare you?
Michael get his ass.
Yeah, right?
There was a scene where Batman went to... They had to go to, like, a bar, blah, blah, blah. There were criminals in there. Mm-hmm. And then Batman's, like, takes off his belt. They're all, like, about to fight him. Batman takes his belt off, kind of like putting your guns down. Mm-hmm. He takes his belt off, puts it on the floor. He's like, let's get this started. I was like, this is cool. It goes to the bar and boom, pow. It did like the 60s thing.
Wow. In a good way?
It was cool. I liked it. I really liked it.
Well, you gave me this look like, wow, yeah, Matthew, the way he said wow, it. What the fuck?
I don't know. I thought he did like it. And I thought it had really funny humor in it. It had kind of some adult humor in it that was pretty funny. I really enjoyed it. But what really made it take a dive for me was the villains. So the hero cast was awesome.
Wait, is what I think?
Yes. Yeah, nice. I've told you about this.
Nice.
The heroes are Batman, Nightwing, and Harley Quinn. It's a really funny dynamic, them all together hanging out. The villain is Poison Ivy. Now, don't attack me. It's Poison Ivy. Okay, whatever, man. It's Poison Ivy.
She's cool. She's hot.
There's another villain. Plant Master. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Neither do I.
Plant Master. It is I.
Yes, I was like, who the fuck is Plant Master?
You all know me.
I didn't even take the time to look him up. But basically, this whole thing goes on, and how they resolve it is
he's like Taskmaster, but instead of copying all of their movesets,
this fucking guy.
Instead of copying their movesets, he copies how plants photosynthesize.
You're hilarious.
I'm sorry, I'll go kill myself later.
Please do.
Bro, how they resolve this movie is Harley goes out to Poison Ivy because they used to be friends. Plant Master and Poison Ivy are going to destroy the planet and make people plant hybrids or something because humans have failed the Earth. And Harley takes her makeup off and her like her little like hat off and then starts crying. And then Poison Ivy's just like, fuck it, I'm turning sides because you're my friend crying.
I've watched the clip of that scene.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh, this looks funny. And it was like this moment where it's like, where she's like, don't you do that. Don't you fucking point those puppy dog eyes at me. Yeah. And then she does it and it's like, oh, you bitch.
And then she immediately turns sides. So I was like, whatever.
Because like the comics and like the films are really like, really on this whole like shipping like Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy thing. They love
They're marketing
that
the fuck out of Harley Quinn.
Yeah,
and which Catwoman I love. Yeah, yeah, well not so much, but then at the end, which still I mean yeah I didn't like that much is it was interesting. You know how the Looney Tunes like does a little like circle at the end? Like
oh yeah, like that's all
they kind of did it where it was like Harley, I think, was in the middle of Nightwing and Batman. She kissed both of them on the cheek or something, and they were both smiling, and it was really uncomfortable to see Batman smiling. And then it just zoomed
it should be
up.
Them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Or
yeah.
At least Nightwing.
It was pretty creepy. I think they were insinuating a nasty three-way was about to go down in the swamp that Plant Master called home.
Oh god.
But overall,
Rule 34.
Yeah. God. Yeah. I gave it a D+. So it's
wow.
It's,
shit. Okay.
Yeah.
You hated it as much as I hated Birds of Prey.
You hated the ending much.
I didn't hate it. It was enjoyable, but it wasn't like a good movie. You know, it was. It was pretty bad,
that's
but
at
watchable.
Least a C.
That would be a C-.
It was pretty bad, but watchable in parts.
Mediocre, but watchable.
That no, it's a D+.
You
for
think
me,
pretty
guy.
Bad, although okay.
Yeah, just because the fact that Plant Master was going on, oh, but God. Yeah, that's my movie of the week. Matt? Oh,
all right, so my movie of the week is My Hero Academia, Heroes Rising.
Do you want to kind of explain what that is?
So My Hero Academia is... what the fuck?
Sorry.
My Hero Academia is a series
sorry,
where...
Wait, I got Nicole to watch it now.
Really? Did you know?
She's watching it.
Nice.
Yep. Continue.
My Hero Academia is a series in which 80% of the world's population has some form of superpower called a quirk.
Love it
and,
already.
And the main character...
I've been trying to get you to watch it, bitch.
I have to watch Dragon Ball first.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, wait, don't. Right. Fuck.
Listen to this. We want to do a thing
called Culture Corner,
where we culture each other. He shows me anime, and I show him, like, DC movies and stuff. So I'm going to show him Batman the Animated Series, and he's going to show me Dragon Ball.
Nice.
So
I like this idea.
Anyways.
But anyway, 80% of the world's population has some form of superpower called a quirk. The main character, Izuku Midoriya, or Deku, he doesn't have a superpower. He was born of one of the 20% that doesn't have a power.
You can't spoil him, you bastard.
It's the first fucking episode.
No,
Jesus
it's not.
Christ.
It's the first, like, four episodes.
First, like, fucking two. I don't give a shit.
Okay, that man did a backflip. And he is ginormous.
Holy shit.
Romero?
Yeah, Yoel Romero is our world.
So we're looking at MMA right now. Again.
It's called UFC.
It's MMA.
UFC.
I know it is.
Okay.
I am going to watch the anime you told me about, though.
Nice.
That robotical, like, punching one.
Oh, Megalobox.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. I told Michael I was going to watch it, and I will.
I'll fucking watch it.
Okay, cool. So, Izuku Midoriya, he's born one of the 20% that doesn't have any superpowers until he meets
his... What's the suicide rate on that 20%?
we are way too much on like dark topics.
Yeah,
today.
I said I was gonna kill myself.
Then,
Matt told me to do
we
it.
Put the explicit badge on our episodes for a reason, baby.
Call suicide. Call the National Suicide Prevention
Hotline.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm joking.
I don't know why I'm laughing. Seriously.
Well, how fucked up would it be if, like, in the description of this episode, we just have that number, and they're like, well, Jesus, what do they talk about
in
this episode?
What the fuck happened?
But anyway, he's powerless until he meets his childhood idol, a superhero named All Might.
Who is also the number one hero in the entire world.
Yes.
So how do you come to being the number one hero in the world?
Just like, by being the fucking best.
So basically...
So is it like Despicable Me, where you gotta, like, steal the moon or some shit?
So what basically happens is that this... obviously 80% of the world now has superpowers. People are going to use it for crime. People are going to use it to be a superhero, and it becomes the norm. So now superhero is literally a profession. Mm. So like you can literally become like how there's like the best programmers or some shit like that.
So it's like a superhero minimum wage going on or what?
Technically kind
and,
of.
And there's technically like superhero like rankings now.
Right.
So there is kind of like a threshold and a hierarchy.
Right. And basically
so
he's
it'd
like
be like Superman and then like
shit.
Booster Golds down on the bottom or something
exactly.
like that. Like Montoya's
even though
the sewers.
Even though Booster Gold is like top tier. He's top tier for me.
Booster Gold was in that movie
awesome.
I just watched.
Really?
Because the Watchtower calls.
We are getting way too sidetracked. All right. I still haven't even gone to the plot of the movie.
Continue.
All right. So anyway.
You needed to catch up on fucking what's going on here. Continue.
I know. That's why I'm trying to explain the general synopsis of the show. But you keep telling me like, oh, don't spoil shit. It's the first episode.
I know, but now you're spoiling it, so might as well.
Oh my God. It's not spoiling it. So then.
He ruined it.
Charmed by Izuku's like spirit and desire to be a hero, All Might is like, hey, I can give you my ability. And so he essentially through using his unique quirk, he's able to pass it on to another user. And so Deku basically goes through training, he gets fucking jacked so that his body won't immediately destroy itself when he transfers the power. And then he's like, all right, now time to go.
More
to
of the muscle mass.
Exactly.
And more of the power can just distribute through your body. It makes
time.
Sense.
Exactly. Time wow. to go. And so then he applies to a UA Academy, which
right,
is like
wait,
the.
Is he wearing a Dragon Ball Z shirt?
I probably
very well might be.
I think he is.
Yeah, he's style bender. We're talking about great man. I don't know how I'm rooting for. You guys want to put hypothetical
going,
bets down?
I'm going
real quick?
For Style Bender because he's anime man.
I'll go for Yoel Romero just because he's a buff Cuban man.
I like it.
So,
Matt's just trying to finish the story. I'm sorry,
just,
Matt.
I'm so lost.
Just talk about the movie.
Anyway, he joins the class. He joins UA Academy, part of Class 1A, and him and all of his classmates, they're all trying to become professional heroes. Anyway, now, fucking 3.5 seasons later, this and one feature film, My Hero Academia Heroes Rising kind of takes place in between the first and second half of the currently airing fourth season, which is actually really, really fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
And so the main plot of the film is that there's this new group of supervillains, four villains in particular, led by a guy named Nine, who has the ability to steal and possess nine different people's quirks. And the last, the final one he needs.
Isn't that kind of what All For One does?
Yes, and that's kind of one of the things is that he essentially works alongside the villains from the main series, and they kind of like give him they kind of like their resources, they kind of experiment on him and give him the ability to maximize his power to the full potential.
Right.
So they want to reform the world, and they have all these grand schemes, but it's less of a film about them achieving those plans and more about them getting to the point where they can start their master plan. They basically need to find the ninth and final quirk for him to steal, which he needs to steal a quirk from this one particular individual on Naboo Island off the coast Naboo? Of Naboo That's Island right. off the coast of Southern
Actually, Japan. Actually, I realized after rewatching it with Nicole, they actually do a lot of Star Wars references with the naming. There's really Tatooine something. I've seen what was the other thing? Something else, I think it was like Tauntaun or some shit. Mm. Basically, they literally had like fucking like Star Wars references. Love like streets and or building names or some shit.
Star Wars.
Yeah, hey, so that's why it's probably not Blue Island, to be honest.
Didn't I'm joking. Get the intro with the That's Not a Moon, the Soft Pushy podcast.
Star Wars. Everybody got
hey,
that.
No. If you didn't get our new logo, has the Death Star shit. In it.
Boom. It's true. It's true.
Matt?
And so he needs to steal a quirk from this. I haven't even gone through the plot synopsis. The main bad guy is to steal a quirk from someone on Naboo Island, and where it just so happens that Class 1A is currently staying on that island on like a class trip to help out the people on the island with like a bunch of different, you know, menial tasks and, you know, duties. They're basically just like helping out the people on the island with kind of low threat tasks. So I'm not usually one who's big on these types of films because they are essentially non-canonical side stories adjacent to an ongoing and pretty much set in stone plot line from a comic.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't really deviate, nor can the stories impact the ongoing narrative. So it's kind of like this balance of like, well, how do we create a compelling story with the characters that are already either in the middle of their own arcs or are at the ends of them. So I think this film actually worked around it very well, much better than the last film, which I actually, looking back on it, wasn't a huge fan of. The first film that they did like 2 years ago kind of like felt like after I finished, I was like, well, the final battle was cool, but everything before that was kind of like boring and kind of mixed production quality. But with this film, every single member of the cast and literally every single one of them participates in the battles in some meaningful way and contributes to the story. The action scenes are way better produced and far more entertaining. And they even get to really experiment with some cool ideas. Like there's some big narrative moments where you're like, holy shit, that is like really meaningful that these characters are doing this thing. And it's the kind of thing where you feel like this should absolutely break rules and this should absolutely be a monumental moment in the series.
Right. Mm.
But they kind of are able to work around it in a way so that by the end of the film, like they can go back to the mainland and they can, you know, continue the main story
right.
without really being too affected, which to me, to some people, like I remember in the theater with all the weebs who I was watching it with, some of them were like, oh man, like some of them were kind of you could kind of feel them like rolling their eyes when they were like, oh, of course it's not. Of course they had to, you know, bring it back to square one. But for me, I kind of liked it because you got all of that great action, and you got to have some very meaningful character moments that almost felt like they were payoff or even extra payoff to character arcs we've already seen in the series proper. Right. Especially with characters like Todoroki, there are moments where you're like, oh man, like this really kind of says a lot about how the main series is currently trying to like reflect on his relationship with his father. And I think that's something that's really important in the story. And so it was cool seeing that utilized in the film to make the film feel a bit more important than just like, oh, this is just a dumb side story with some cool action.
Right.
They get to, like, especially with, like, Deku and Bakugo, like, the two main characters of the series, they got to experiment with some crazy ideas for how, like, their relationship could evolve, and then only to kind of, like, you know, kind of wrap things up and kind of... you know, be like, nothing's really going to change too drastically. Right.
They're just like, this is what it could be.
This is what it could be. And that, and so, and there were so many moments that were like really intense and kind of emotional from character perspective. Even for characters who I don't normally find myself that invested in.
Right.
Which I thought was really cool because, like, you know, there's some characters in My Hero Academia, it's like, I'm not going to really give a shit about them until they spend the one episode that they needed to like cover their backstory.
Right.
And then I'll be like, okay, now they're like the coolest character in the entire show. Like
Grape Boy?
Yeah. Well, no, not him. Not him. But there's
only a character who's like a small ass character who's fucking awful.
He's just like his whole
power is he has sticky balls that come off of his head.
But also his whole character,
I love
character that. Dynamic is that he is himself the pervert character.
I love
which is kind of a waste opportunity because they have another character whose quirk is literally that they turn rock hard. You'd think he'd be a better pervert character, but whatever. Point is,
how about the kid who makes balls?
Do you got a rating on it?
I do. I gave it, I was surprised that I ended up giving it an A- because I think narratively it's like it's just a stopgap between two story arcs, but emotionally I think that it's a really thrilling payoff to 3.5 seasons, and I think that it reminds me of the reasons why I get addicted to shows like this in the first place.
So you say a flawed gem, excellent movie with minor but notable shortcomings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have like a fully
fleshed
out rating scale?
Yeah, I mean,
that's really cool.
I posted on the Instagram.
That's what I'm looking at right now.
Oh.
I'll send it to you. So I don't know. It just makes it kind of easy. So if I give it a letter and then like the fans can just go hop on the Instagram and kind of read it.
But that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean,
chill along.
What?
I said that let's some kind of, I said chill along. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying anymore. I meant like be a part of us.
Yeah. So it was an enjoyable movie. It sounds like.
I would say so.
I need a friend to watch that show. You should watch that show. I think you probably like it. Superheroes.
Yeah.
You like superheroes?
It has great animation, too. I think that at this point, it is mandated by law that the animation legend Yutaka Nakamura has to animate the final move to every awesome attack in that series. So both films, he always animates the ends of those major fights. And it's always just the most glorious and beautiful looking thing.
Is that the same guy who did the Todoroki versus Deku fight? Like at the end of it.
At the very end.
Nice.
That was him. He does this amazing.
He gave me like fucking shivers.
He does this incredible effect with destruction. He invented it called the Utapon cube technique, where he animates destruction as say like a wall explodes. He will animate the debris as very neatly drawn cubes. So it's kind of like unrealistic, but the way that they animate and the way they move, it makes the explosions feel a lot more visceral because you're seeing all these individually tracked pieces of debris.
Right.
So it's easier way to draw them, but it's a more effective way of like conveying grand destruction.
You know what I showed him last Saturday night?
What did you show me?
Dark Knight Returns Part 1.
Holy shit.
I still have not seen that.
I should have reviewed that. You haven't seen that?
Fuck,
I haven't
seen either. You should have reviewed that. Oh my god. It's
fucking great.
Do you want to review that?
No. Well.
Yeah, maybe you should review that.
I think we should review it next time.
Sure, yeah. I don't know why the fuck I'm forcing it.
I want to review it now, bitch, because I want
to
watch,
watch
part 1
it,
and part 2.
No, they're different. Yeah, I guess you could review them all together, but just as some final things I want to say is I posted on the Instagram that we might be releasing the link to send us audio questions so we could answer your questions and put your audio in the podcast.
Oh shit, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool feature.
Like I knew
you're
about
one
the questions.
Half, you're one
like,
half of the
Well, podcast. I knew about the question. Yeah. I didn't know he was saying like an audio thing. Like, I didn't know that was the whole thing.
But I actually posted on Instagram. We had like 12 people vote yes. So I was like, okay, cool. Maybe we'll do that. Let us know in the comments.
12.
Yeah. Let us know in the comments if you want to do that. And make sure you follow us on Instagram at Half Past Sheave podcast. I'm pretty sure that's it.
Yeah.
And then subscribe to us on YouTube, ring our bell.
Ring the bell as well.
Also, make sure to show us some love on iTunes and Spotify. We stay strong on iTunes with our viewing, but for some reason, all our Spotify viewers have just ghosted us. Spotify viewers yet. So go give us a nice 5 stars on that, and make sure to stay tuned. We beat the statistic.
Yes, episode 7.
Great. You want to plug anything, Matt?
It's included in the last episode.
Just a couple of Twitter pages. My Twitter page, at Matthew Lundin.
Nice.
The Twitter page for my radio show, at The Sakura Sunset, which is a radio show that airs every Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. on FM 89 WONC Naperville, Chicago. You can also catch the show that I do with Chris Duffy, at DuffStuffWONC on Twitter. That is every Thursday. That show is every Thursday from 8 to 10 on FM 89. And SakuraSunrise.blog is where you can find my anime reviews.
Okay, cool.
Really?
And I just want to tell you all Star Wars fans out there, because I know we have a strong Star Wars audience. Now, Star Wars will be back next week. I'm sorry we've been talking about a lot of DC and stuff lately, but that's just how it is, bitches. But
yeah, he's so mean.
Great podcast, everybody. I'm glad to have you here, Matt. Glad to see the movie. Too. Glad to got some food with you. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Finish this fight up. Hopefully Adesanya gets his ass beat.
No, I want him to win, even though he's got fucking decked. The
cap to the, I think this is the cap to the socket. Yeah,
we're
going to finish the bottle.
Yeah, we don't need that.
I'm not going to drink anymore.
How dare you? I'm driving you home. I'm going to finish that bitch.
All right.
Please don't.
Well, in the wise words of the clone Sheev Palpatine.
God, don't rest his soul. Fuck that bitch.
Do it.
Do it.
See you next episode.
Next episode.